Okay, I'm going to give you the title and you're going to go, oh, what's he going on about? But don't worry, all will be made. Let the restoration commence, let the reformation continue. That's the title today. Let the restoration commence, let the reformation continue. You think, what's he going to talk about? Well, hear me and you'll find out. Let the restoration commence, let the reformation continue. God is doing a restorative or restorative work in all our hearts. We're going from glory to glory. Amen. And God is restoring everything and everyone. God is master at redeeming materials, broken materials, weathered materials, brittle, broken, damaged materials. God is in the restoration business. And there's a word they use for when something is pulled back to its complete glory. It's called repristinate. Repristinate. Now, that's not just restoring so it looks like. Repristinate means it goes back to its original condition. And God is a repristinate God who's able to take you from your past and bring you into his future. Amen. So Acts 11, if you'll go there this morning, I want to carry on from where I've been the last couple of weeks. And Acts 11, do you know when the word of God becomes your feeding, your lifeline, your life, when you jump in to this word and live by this word becomes your past, your present, and your future. When you read it, it's your past, it's your history you're reading. Because you're involved with these people. If you read the Bible and you're detached from the people, you're not in it. I read it and see that these are my brothers and sisters. This is my history. My history. Now, there's a marker for culture. When you become a Christian, this becomes our culture. Christian culture, I'm talking about. And this is, when we dive into this, their past is my past. This is how I inherited it. If they hadn't have walked it and lived it, I couldn't have inherited it. What they did was for us. Scripture tells us that. When the prophets searched to see when the times and events, they realized that they weren't serving themselves, but they were serving you and me. So it's my past. This is my present. And it's our future. And in that ours, there's mine as well. So, but if you see yourself as, or say, if you see the Bible as something detachable, then these, that past, that present, that future is not yours. So it's really important that you jump, you submerge yourself in it so that God can give you his past, your present, and our future. Because it's your present, but it's our future. It's our past. Does that make sense? And God is restoring the past. God is restoring the present. Why? So that the Reformation can continue. So in Acts 11:28, one of them named Agabus stood up. So it was one of them who has to stand up. One will always make the difference for all of us. He stood up and through the Spirit he predicted or prophesied that a severe famine would spread the entire world. A severe famine. A severe famine would spread throughout the world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. So the disciples hearing this, each according to his ability, decided to provide help. Each one according to his ability, decided to provide help for what was coming. Yes. Hello? Yes. Each one, what they heard moved them to an action. Yes. What they heard by the Spirit, they then made room for in their own hearts. What is the point of hearing if we don't make room in our hearts for what we're hearing? Okay? The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending the gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So they heard something. Instantly in their hearts, they moved to align themselves to what they just heard. Can you imagine what God can do if the church can hear what the Spirit is saying? But not only hear, but then decide what they, their part they're going to play. We are at that point. We are at that point where we've got to decide what part we're going to play based on what we're hearing. Thank you, Mary, and the rest in the Catholic Church. Now, let me give you some perspective. Right now, we're in post-COVID, yes? And there's a work of restoration taking place. So many things were broken through COVID. Businesses were broken. Lives were affected. Nations have been turned upside down. Economies have gone square-shaped. Pear-shaped, I should say, not square-shaped. Pear-shaped. I know it didn't sound right when it came out of my mouth. And you still go to university this year. It doesn't matter. The issue is this is, what is God saying? What is God saying? In the midst of all that's gone wrong, going wrong, still broke, God is saying, I'm still in the business of restoring. Because the Reformation's still on. Now you look at the church, it doesn't look like she's in Reformation. In fact, you look at many aspects of the church, she doesn't even look like she's in restoration. But I look out in our house and I can see restoration and reformation still on. And I'm sure many pastors can say the same thing. I know it's going on in me. And I know there's many of you who are going through restoration and reformation. And God does this so that those two things can continue, restoration and reformation. If the saints are not restored, reformation is hindered. In your life and my life. It's not hindered in the great big picture, but in your life and our life, it is. Now, here's the thing. When God speaks to his church, he speaks in a time frame. He may speak of today. He may speak of what's coming in the future. Right? You and I must know what time frame God is speaking. And then must align ourselves to what we believe God is saying. So if God says now, what does now mean? Now. But if God says there's a time coming, we know it's sometime in the near future. Right? And then we adjust ourselves according to what is be or what we're hearing. So there is a now word coming to the church, but in a little while, as we've been reading in the book of Haggai, there's a word coming for an in a little while. But there's also a now word. So we must be able to position ourselves for both. How many of you agree with that? But when God speaks and prophesying into times and seasons, he knows there's upheaval. He knows there's challenge. And he knows, excuse me, he knows that there is great change in the nations. Right now, change, the nations are turned upside down. There's great challenge in the nations. There's upheaval in the nations. We've got war in Ukraine. We've got economies. We've got even Germany now, I read in the news this week, that they're beginning to turn the lights off at night time, saving their energies. And we know this tidal wave is coming. Do we not? And yet God speaks in the midst of challenge, change and upheaval. God speaks in the midst of all that. It's almost like, hold your position, boys. Don't let the ship go down. Now, when God speaks in the midst of challenge and change and upheaval, can I encourage you by saying God doesn't always speak nice, popular, or wanted words. God doesn't always speak nice, popular, or even wanted things. But God still speaks them, knowing what his church needs in the midst of challenge, change, and upheaval. Right now, we know financially the West is changing. Everything's subject to change. Now, Agabus saw by the Spirit what was about to happen. Now, when you prophesy by the Spirit and God speaks it to you, sometimes you catch a glimpse, other times you get the full weight of it. When you feel something in the Spirit, you can go into mourning for it or intercession because the impact of what you have seen. We read that in Scripture. When Daniel gave his prophecy, he says, "And I, Daniel, was greatly troubled." So what he was seeing brought trouble on his own spirit. So we don't always prophesy. Now, when we prophesy in the church and I prophesy over Dave and Dave prophesies over me, that's a different rule because it lifts up, builds up and cheers up. But when we speak by what God is about to do and what God is doing in the nations, it can be unpleasant because God knows what's coming and he's preparing you for what's coming because he needs a ready people ready. Yeah? Now, God, the first thing you need to remember is this. God doesn't remove the unpleasant and the unpopular and the unwanted just for you and me. Write that down in big letters in your Bible. God does not remove the unpopular, the unwanted, and the unneeded. Why? Because God is a big picture God. When God speaks, he tells you what's happening, but then he also speaks to his churches how to adjust so she can rise above it. So she doesn't overcome by it. So we don't just hear, tsunami! But then God will say, tsunami's coming, but this is how you ride the wave. Now, when those who don't hear what God's saying, or don't who hear but don't prepare, will get washed away. It's those who hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Now, you've got, Matt, I keep saying this to you, you've got to hear what God's saying to the church so that you can then draw your portion from it. God speaks to us before he speaks to you. Amen? So, when the prophet saw this, immediately the others heard what he was about to say and they instantly moved in their hearts. Okay, how can we facilitate what God is doing? How can we, you know, better serve the body of Christ? And that was a mature attitude. So, we know that we have to endure the coming seasons. The prophecy, what that came to Agabus was meant was, church, fasten your belt. You're going to have to endure a time and a season, but you will need to be my instrument in that. You can't be overcome and overwhelmed by it, or you'll never become my instrument and you'll be caught up by it. So, we have to endure what's coming. Okay? Now, God doesn't take away the drought. When you're reading Scripture, and the prophets prophesied drought would come, or exile would come, or an army would come and besiege you. Lord, it's all right, we're Christians, it won't happen to us. Run, forest! It was coming to the nation. And if you're in that nation, it's coming. God has spoken things about to take place in the nations of the world. It's coming. You and I just don't know how it's always going to play out. But we all know there's a tsunami coming. True? And God is not going to remove it. He's not going to remove the energy prices. I know, sorry, you didn't want to hear that. Right, so we need to own it and find out from God, what is he saying to me about how to rise above it? What is he saying to us? Lord, you're my provider. You always have been. And the sight of what I think, the things I see and the things I'm hearing does not change the fact that you're still my rock. You're still my provider. Right, Lord, I might need to learn some things about you that I didn't learn before. God says, now that's the right kind. Lean in and find the ways of God in all this. So when Elijah prophesied that there will be no rain by the sound of my voice, do you know that drought came on the land for nearly 3 years? That meant he also had to suffer the lack of water. So when Jeremiah was prophesying about Israel being taken into exile, where did Jeremiah end up? In exile. So we know that when God says some things, we're still going to have to endure it. If God told us war's coming tomorrow, we would, many of the young boys would be on the front line. We're still in a war. True? So, we are heading into a winter of our discontent. As famous Winston once said. So, means there's going to be dissatisfaction, there's going to be misery, and there's going to be circumstance. You say, Pastor, I hope this gets better. It will do. And we can complain all day long that the storm's coming, but own it. We've got to own it. Now, despite all that I've just said, let me go back to my title. Let the restoration commence so the work of reformation can continue. God's saying, you've heard all that, but despite all that, my work of restoration is still in place. Nothing's changed. I'm still building my church. I'm still building my church. That's what he said. The Reformation's on. Since the days of John the Baptist, since now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. The Reformation is still on. The restoration is still on. So the Reformation can continue. Restoration must continue in Phil. It must commence in Phil so that the Reformation coming through him can continue. Because he who started a good work has to bring it through to the point, to the place, to the position of finish. Yeah. So restoration has to continue so Reformation can continue. Commence and continue. Do you get that? Yes. Everyone there on the same page? Good. So, it has to commence and continue so that God's goodness can be seen. And so that his glory can come forth. So, let the restoration commence. Let the reformation continue so that God's glory can be seen in you and in the church. God does everything for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen? So that it will reflect the glory. Now, a man by the name of Michael Hoff, you may have read this before. If you haven't, let me introduce you. He wrote a book called Those Who Remain. And this is what he said. Hard times create strong men. Hard times create strong men. What do hard times do? Strong men create good times. You like it so far. But then, good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. Let me say that again. Hard times create strong men. So it depends on where you want to follow this transition. I want hard times to create strong people. Amen? And I want strong men to create good times. But the danger is good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. So if you don't stop the cycle and you don't know where it ends, you'll go in full circle into decline. When God started the church, he took weak men, built them through hard times. So they created strong men. True? And God, with strong men, through hard times, created more difficult times. The kingdom created obstacles. Hard times never left the New Testament church. But guess what? Look how many strong men and women were risen up through those difficult times. And yet the church also enjoyed good times. So it's possible that God, through the hard times, can create strong people. So suck it up, people. Hard times are going to create strong people. Your faith is about to grow. Now, I don't want fuel rises. I don't want hard times. I don't want tough times. I just want good times. Because I'm a good time boy. Well, if you're a good time boy, maybe you're backing the wrong team. God's going to use hard times to create strong men. What kind of times? Hard times. He's going to create strong men through hard times, and we're going to have some good times. Amen? But that's where we've got to stop. That's where we've got to put a pin in it. Because if we enjoy the good times, we get soft. And when we get soft and flabby and get relaxed, we create hard times for the next generation. So let's go to the book of Haggai. Are you still with me? Let the restoration commence so that the reformation can continue and that the glory of God may be reflected through all that he does. Haggai chapter 1, and we read here, the Lord's messenger, and then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. And that's what I feel. I'm at that point right now. I am with you, he declares. You know, if God says nothing else that is with us, that's enough. We could go home once we know God's with us. But the issue is, are you with him? He's with us, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit. You see, I can appeal to your psychological framework. I can appeal to your emotions. But I've got to speak and let the Lord stir your spirit. Because I know what's coming, and so do you in part. I'm not saying I know more than you, by the way. We all read the news. We all hear what's coming. But the thing is this, God must stir the spirit of his people. I can't fake and give you an emotional sensation that says everything's going to be all right, because that wouldn't be fair to say that. If some people's finances are not aligned, why would I think everything's going to be all right? We need to get our finances in order. It's gone very quiet now. Less takeaways. Find ways of saving energy. Find ways of shopping better. Now, if you've got an income that can sustain that, wonderful. But I know what's coming. And I know as a church, we've got to move to face what's coming. We have to look at saving energy. Physical energy, emotional energy, psychological energy, financial energy. We need to save so that we can use it in the right areas at maximum output. Amen. Divert some energy so it can be used more potently in another area. And we've got a lot of work to do in these coming days. We've got a lot of work to do in these coming days. And we've got work to do in these coming days. But the Lord stirred up the spirit. Do you feel your spirit being stirred? And he said to the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. So God starts with the governor, starts with a priest. He said, that's not enough. I need the whole people affected. I need the whole people to hear what's coming, and I need the whole people to be stirred, and I'm going to do it not by might, nor by power, but I'm going to do it by my spirit. You see, because when the spirit of God stirs your heart, you will get excited in times when everyone else is panicking. And I'm so full of faith right now. I'm full of expectancy, irrespective of what I know is coming. I just sense that God is about to do something very, very powerful. He's like, I don't just sense it. He's been speaking to me about it. And I could show you chapter and verse. I don't just feel. I feel when I've had cheese. I feel when I've had fluids. But this is not, I feel. I can show you chapter and verse where God has been speaking to me. And when I'm doubting, I'm wrestling in my mind, and then you open it and say, Lord, speak to me today, speak to me. Then you open your Bible, and then it's like, whoa, this is the very thing that you've just been talking to him about. It's not coincidence. And the more I pray, the more coincidences happen. That's gone quiet. The more I pray, coincidence happens. There's no such thing as coincidence. So he says this, he stirs up the remnant of the people, and they came and began to work. That's the result of God stirring. That's the work of restoration. Why? So reformation can continue. He restores the spirits of the people so that reformation in the people can continue. Does that make sense? So, when God stirs the spirit of his people, the people on the ground become the material. When God stirs the spirits of his people become the material on the ground that God can use. Yeah? This is what happens when you become the material that God can use. Last week I talked to us about what kind of material do you perceive yourself to be. Well, here we see the material on the ground. Remember what we just said, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. But when you're the material on the ground and God stirs the spirits of his people, restoration commences so that reformation can continue. Hard times create strong believers. Hard times now begin to create strong believers. Faith begins to arise. Why? Because in your difficult times, faith rises because God is stirring your spirit and he's opening your eyes so that you can see, though there are possibilities, so though there are limitations around you, there are possibilities above you. Yes? You can either look at the limitations around you or you can look at the possibilities above you. When you're the material, strong believers create productive times. Strong believers now begin to create productive times. And I tell you now, by the Spirit, we will become productive. Productive times create fruitful seasons. Productive times create fruitful seasons. And fruitful seasons create unstoppable momentum. So, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. But when the Spirit of God stirs his people, hard times create strong believers. Strong believers create productive times. Productive times create fruitful seasons. And fruitful seasons create unstoppable momentum. Unstoppable momentum. When even the gates of hell cannot prevail. Now you see, when you've got unstoppable momentum, reformation has no limitations. Because now momentum can take you to places that you previously couldn't get off the ground. Have they sent the rocket up yet? Has it got off?
No.
Right, so all its momentum has been lost. All its excitement's been dampened. But they'll get it off the ground. They'll get it off the ground. And you look how they'll overcome inertia. They'll fire those boosters up straight away. Boom. Inertia will be overcome. And momentum will be created. And that rocket will reach an unstoppable force. And it will reach its destination. And they'll all be singing, fly me to the moon. Now, hearing what we've just said, let me say this. Decisions determine destiny. Decisions determine destiny. Whose decisions? Yours and mine. So what we hear God saying, decisions will determine our destiny. God is speaking to us about a common corporate destiny. What he's about to do with us. But he's speaking to you. He speaks to us so we can speak to you. And when he speaks to you, you hear him what he's speaking to us. Yes? Don't just hear what he says to you. Hear what he's saying to us. That's very, very, very important. You must hear what he's saying to us. Because he's speaking to you to join with the us. Because that's where the strength is. It's where the strength is. That's where the momentum 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 is. As God stirs your spirit, you say, yes, Lord, where do you want me? And God says, right, position you here. Listen to what the pastor's saying. Listen to what the leaders are saying. Yes, I'm here, Lord. And you see, everyone clicking into their position and momentum becomes unstoppable. That's what happens. Now, let's go back to Haggai chapter 1. And here we see a picture of scarcity. Scarcity, I never get that right. Is it scarcity or scarcity? Scarcity. All right. Scarcity. I never say it right for some reason. Scarcity. And scarcity was created because weak men created hard times. Weak men. Whenever God has weak men in the church, it will create hard times for the people. Let me say that again. Lesson of leadership. When there's weak men in the church, hard times will be created for the people. They will. You're looking at him going, what does he mean? Just trust me, I'm not going to go any further. I know, weak men create hard times. Now, Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, watch this. Watch what's happened because of the weak men on the ground. Now, the problem is now Israel's problem. Listen to what God has done. As a result of these weak men. This is what the Lord says. Give careful thought. Now, Haggai, the book of Haggai has only got two chapters. But in those two chapters, it mentions five times. How many times? Five times to give careful thought. Five times in two chapters. And he starts off here, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put clothes on, but you're not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord says, give careful thought to your ways. Now, he said that twice within a couple of verses. So we see a picture of scarcity on the ground. Can we see this? They planted, but they've not harvested. John, you know all about that. What does it look like, John, when you planted and you've gotten out from it? It looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? And you feel brassed off. Very frustrated. How many of us got, how many's gone to work and earned some money, put it in your pocket, and you feel like your pocket got holes in it? So you haven't got enough money at the end of the month, or you got more month than money, as Phil says. We all know how that feels, don't we? It's just a picture of continual struggle. True? This is what was going on there. And God says, guys, you can continue like this for the rest of your life, or I can arrest it. I can restore the nation from within, but I need some strong men. Ladies, you're involved. I need some strong men if we're going to turn it around this scarcity. We need to hear what I'm about. I said, you lot need to hear, meaning Israel. You need to hear what above is saying. So the heavens were holding their dew. So what did that create? A drought. Who would have ever thought Britain could be in a drought? Who would have ever thought Manchester's water resources could be even lower? They're even lower now. There's been a burst up there. People eat but never have enough. Have we seen people, food banks are increasing. You plant and you work hard, but you harvest. In other words, you never enjoy the benefits of what you do. That's not a picture of kingdom prosperity. You drink, but you never have a fill. In other words, you're always thirsty. You put clothes on, but you're never warm. You earn wages only to put them in a pocket with holes in it. In other words, the picture there is they're in constant lack, constant need. I say again, that's not what God's got for us. Amen. So Haggai chapter 2:15, let's shoot right across 2:15. He says, let me say it again, the third time. Now give careful thought. We've only read two chapters, and he said it five times. Give careful thought to your ways. Your ways, my ways, our ways. Because when you don't give careful thought to your ways and my ways, you hit the highways and byways. And they can take you in all different directions. So when a weak man and woman, or when weak people create our times, God has no, watch this, God has no other option than to reduce your daily portion. God has no other option than to reduce your daily portion. Why? Because God is trying to help you see there's a better way. This is not his perfect way, son. I've got a better way for you. I've got plans to make you prosper. Plans to give you hope and a future when you call on me. And many of us are believers, but we've adopted methods and principles that are not pleasing, and they're not working for us. And God is saying, stop, stop. The work of restoration, if it's going to move you into reformation, things need to change on the ground. And you need to hear what I'm about to say, so you can adjust your heart and life. So give careful thought to your ways. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another. This is what he's saying to them in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap. Now watch this, watch this. When they used to be in the temple in the days of plenty. Everyone say days of plenty. Now you didn't realize you were living in days of plenty until days of famine came. Now you kept your head above water. But now what's coming, the energy crisis that's coming, we're now going to hit a days of famine. And now the days of plenty seem far away for some people. Not for everyone, but for many people, the days of plenty seem far away. We all know energy prices ain't going to go back. And even if they drop half, it's still half a price now. Which is, if it goes up 50%, that's 50% we're not paying right now. The days of plenty for some people can seem so far, far away. So this is what he says. When you came to, it came into the temple, when anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, how many measures? 20 measures, there was only 10. So we've lost 50%. Right? Then he says, and when anyone came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20 measures available. So you can see that what was in the house has now been decreased. You see it? So the resources, the abundance, the plenty that was in the house, famine is inside the house. And you can see that what was plenty is now significantly being reduced. And God says, I don't want this for my people. I now to get the 20 measures back. I now to get the 50 measures back. I now to get the 100 measures back. There should not be scarcity in the house. Yes, there were people earning more wages than others, but that's not the same. That's according to your abilities and your skills and knowledge. That's nothing to do with blessings and not. That's to do with the job that you have. Many of you worked hard to get where you are. So then he says this. So we can see it's in the house. And God says, you know, this reflects bad on me as your father. When I see my kids struggling like this, this is not the picture I have for my family. So God says, right, I'm going to move to address this. Why? Because I know when people look at me, they'll look at you. And they'll say, if you can't take care of your kids, why should we put our trust in you? That's our God. That's our God. When people look at the Dream Center, what are they going to see? And we say, oh, God can do this, God can do that, God supplies this, God supplies that. And there's scarcity all around the place. God says, you're not, guys, you're not showing me in a good light. Are we kingdom kids? Is our Father our Father? Yes. Right, then our Father must be able to look after us. Amen? Are you all in agreement with that? So, if you think, there are some things God will not allow to devalue in his house. Now hear this clearly. There are some things that God will not allow to be devalued in his house. Money can be devalued based on the attitudes of the people. But you know what won't devalue in God's house? His word, his principles. Ready? You ready for another two? His gold and his silver. His gold and his silver. You're his gold. You're his silver. Now, gold as we know it is probably one of the oldest. Is it the oldest currency around? Probably the oldest currency around. God will not allow his value to drop. This is why he was speaking to Israel. He said, boys, I've seen the stock exchange in the heavens and our stock is plummeting because of weak men. But me, the Father and the Holy Ghost, we run the stock exchange. We've come down to address it because the value of the gold and silver has got to rise. I ask you, what material do you perceive yourself to be? The answer would have been gold and silver. Why? Silver is what God's refining. It speaks of redemption. Gold is what he's purifying. So when the heat gets turned up and he's using the hard time to create strong men, gold is being refined. The gold is being refined. So he turns the heat up so that gold can be cleansed. Hello? So have you discovered how to identify the deposits within you? We must be able to identify the deposits, the rich deposits that God has put inside us. I know there's gold inside of me. I know there's gold inside of you. You were cut from the rock. You were cut from the rock. And I know that rock is going to do a lot of work inside our hearts. So if you feel the heat, good. Gold's coming forth. The price of gold is going up. I said the price of gold in this house is going up. Now, if God... Do you perceive God needs to take the dross out of your gold? Do you perceive that God has to turn the heat up to take the dross out of your gold? The answer is yes. Because any attitude you've got that doesn't measure up to God's has to be purified. Any bad attitude you've got towards anybody else has to be purified. Any wrong behavior or living has to be purified. Because God does not want you a weak man or a weak woman. And he wants strong men and women who can ride rough times, tough times. So God needs to take the dross out of our gold. Is your gold greater now than it was 6 months ago? Or has your gold value been plummeting? I'd like to think my gold value is increasing. Not because I like to think, because I know I'm doing, my actions have changed. Hey, I'm not this angelic saint, but I'm better than I was. I'm not as good as I hope to be, and I know I'm not what I will be. But I know I'm not like I used to be. Is the gold inside of you ever going to be used? Is it ever going to be used? Well, I like to think it is. How much of the initial gold content inside of your life still needs refining? In what areas? We all know the areas. You don't have to go deep into the recesses of your mind. We don't need a settee here now to put you down into a sleep and say, go back into the childhood. Is there any areas in your life? We all know the areas we are not clean in or could be better in. Or is there only me who knows that? Maybe you should pray for me. Keep quiet, because that's why the guilty always stay quiet. Only a God shaking will turn the fire up. Well, I know you didn't want to hear this message. Gold. Your price of gold is going up. Everything's going up, so is the gold. Gold prices in God's church is not going down. Silver's not going down. And God's got the furnace. He doesn't have to worry about the energy prices to light his furnace. He'll just use the hard times. He'll use the wind. There's a message in there for you. God's so, carbon neutral. God will use the wind to create hard times so we can create tough men. Haggai chapter 1, we just read it. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put clothes on, don't keep warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Now go to Zechariah. It's the next book next to it. Because if you want the secrets of Haggai, listen to me. This story doesn't end in Haggai. The temple's not rebuilt at the end of Haggai. I said the temple's not even rebuilt at the end of Haggai. You now have to follow what God says in the book of Haggai all the way through to Zechariah. And you see the same players are still involved. The governor, Joshua, and the people are all still involved. Now, God's blown my mind in Zechariah and Haggai. God's had me on this journey of Haggai and Zechariah for the last couple of weeks. And, well, longer than that, months now. And I've been studiously going through this with a fine tooth comb, and God's pulling out all the gold for me and all the nuggets. And there's things I can't share with you right now, but there's things I can share. And those things I can share, that's what we're doing. But he says this, but now, watch this. So, is it fair to say that let me just say this. Yesterday I was talking to two Australians. You've seen them before, Dan and Renee, friends of Scott and Sam's. They're over in England, and they've all gone on holiday today together. And they were telling me, which just echoes all the stories I've been hearing forever and ever, amen, about COVID. And most churches lost 25 to 30% of their people during COVID. Many never came back. Many moved out. Many lost their faith. Blah, 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 blah. So every pastor, though I've spoken to, I told you about the church who had 80 people and not one of them turned up. A church closed down of 80 people. Now that tells me something was going on behind the scenes. But 80 people. So wherever you see most churches around the world were during COVID, they all encountered significant loss. So the restoration work post-COVID is still on. God is still building his church. He's never not been building his church. And the Reformation's still on. But it's almost like we've gone down to the waters and God's cold. And what we're left with right now is for the battle. right? This is just my, you know, this is not a literal interpretation of what's going on. This is just me trying to get an understanding. We are now classed as the remnant. Look around. We are the remnant. We're left. Now this summer we're on holiday in a way, but there's more of us than that are actually here. But look around, this is the remnant. I don't care. We're still the workforce. So when God speaks to Zechariah, he now speaks of a remnant. And we are the remnant God is using and God is speaking to. So let's pick it up in Zechariah chapter 8. But now, watch this. Now I will not deal with the remnant of the people as I did in the past. We're getting to the good part now. Declares the Lord Almighty. Watch this now. The seed will grow. Now before, we've just said that you plant but you never harvest. God arrests the heart, they repent, the people now move towards the Lord and listen to his promises. Now the people respond to what the Lord is doing. He says, now, because you've now responded, I'm going to reverse what didn't happen. I'm now going to return the portion back to the church. Watch this. The seed will grow. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crops. Yes? And the heavens will drop their dew. Because he tells us in Haggai, and he tells in Zechariah, it was me what caused it all. Because of your response, or your lack of response, he says. I gave all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of the people. As we have been an object of cursing among the nations, O Judah and Israel, so I will save you and you will be a blessing. Don't be afraid, but let your hands be strong. Weak men don't have strong hands. Strong men have strong hands. You see this? So let's go to verse 15. I have determined to do it again to Jerusalem and Judah. Don't be afraid. These are the things you are to speak. Now, just stop here. Pause. Just look at me for a second. So God has arrested the attitude that was in the book of Haggai. Is it time for you? It's not. The people said it's not time for us to build a house of the Lord. God says, is it time for you to build a house of the Lord? Different question. And then he says, in a little while, I'll build a house. So he takes them through a process. The people hear what God's saying. They repent. They cry out to God. And God says, okay, I've seen your hearts. You're now back on board. He says, build the house. Get up there into those mountains. Bring the timber down and get to work. I'm with you. But then we come through into Zechariah. The temple has not been built. The foundation's been laid. But the house has not been built. So now he starts looking. Now don't forget, he's stirred the hearts of the people up. He's cleansing the hearts. Gold value's now gone up. And now he speaks to the heavens and he says, that which I spoke to the heavens because of your bad behavior, I will now readdress. Heaven, rain. Heaven falls. The rain start fall. The dew falls. The ground gets wet. Harvesting becomes doable. He reverses all the things now that was we saw previously. When they went to the house and they didn't get the measure, it reduced. Now he's bringing them back to abundance. This is where we are. This is where we are. Some of your jobs you're going to go into work and you're going to go back to abundance. And you're going to say, well, hang on. These are hard times. These are tough times. Everyone's saving money, but not for you. You're going to go into work and you're going to find that your salary is going to up and you're going to have abundance in the house. And you're going to go look to God and you say, wow. Wow. When you walk and you respond to God, to his word, famine doesn't have to lay hold of you. If you take hold of the word. Now, I've not prophesied to you and said, your wages are going to increase. I said, some of you. Why have I said some of you? Because I haven't got the word of the Lord to say you, you, or you. But I have got the word of the Lord to say some of you. Yes? It'd be wrong if I said to Phil, it's going to happen to you. Because I don't believe the Lord has said that to me. to tell him that. But the Lord has told me to tell some of you, you're going to get favor. When everyone's cutting back, you're on increase. It doesn't make sense. It does make sense. Because restoration and reformation is in play.
Yes.
Amen? There's no boss that can take away from you what's yours. So, we're coming to land. So I've determined to do good again to Jerusalem, to Judah. Don't be afraid. These are things you are to do. What are you to do? What's going to set this in motion? Are you ready? What is going to set this new thing in motion? The first thing is that he says, speak the truth to each other. Speak the truth to each other. The truth's not always nice, is it, John? The truth's not always fair. But speak the truth to one another. I am speaking the truth to you. I expect you to speak that same truth back to one another. God's building us. God's goal. So when next you hear someone moaning, complaining, this is what you say. The goal value is going up. The goal value is going up. So Z, I was like, tell me next time he's moaning, say, it's okay, value is going up. Speak the truth to one another. Remind one another what God is saying to us. Yes, it's tough. It's tough. But God, I just pray, oh God, that the deposit that's in me, Lord, your stock is rising. Amen. Refine the silver, purify the gold. Refine the silver, purify the gold. Refine the silver in me, purify the gold in me. Let your stock increase. Let this hard time create a strong man. Let this hard time create a strong family. Let this hard time create a strong attitude. Let gold come forth. I'm not talking about gold as prosperity. I'm talking about gold of what God's put inside of you. Then he says, speak the truth to other. And render true, sound judgment. If there's one thing we have to do in tough times is render sound judgment. This is where we're at, speaking the truth to one another. What's that truth? The word that we're hearing. Remind one another, hold one another in that word, encourage one another with that word, and render sound judgment, not your opinions. Render sound judgment in your courts. And then he says this, don't plot evil against your neighbor. That means don't plot to kill your government and your next door neighbor and your work colleague and your friend. As your neighbour, don't let evil enter your hearts. Don't conspire with the works of the enemy. Partner with what God's saying. Amen? Speak the truth to each other. Render true, sound judgment. Don't plot evil against your neighbour. Zechariah says, tell him this. Zechariah 6:12, last scripture, and then we'll stand to our feet. Tell him this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from this place and build the temple of the Lord. See, the temple's still not built, but God is choosing a man who will build a temple. It is he who will build this temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. God, I'm going to leave that. I'll leave that another day. There'll be harmony between the throne, between the two. The crown will be given to Hedai, Tobijah, Jediah, and the sons of Zephaniah as a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Those who are far away will come and help. Oh, where have we heard that before? Those who are far away. Those who are far away. Dream Center, listen to what God is saying to us again. Those who are far away will come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. This will happen if you diligently obey the Lord your God. There's the promise of the Lord to us. People are coming to help us. to build the house because the value of stock is rising. Let the restoration commence. Let the reformation continue, I say. Let's stand to our feet. Put your hand on your heart, if you will. And ask the Lord to purify your gold. Refine your silver. Let your investment in me, O God, increase. Create in me a strong person, a tough person, a hard person, one who is able to stand, one who is able to declare, one who is able to speak the truth and to render sound judgment, one who is able to treat his neighbor right. Father, these are the instructions you gave to your people and you're giving to us today. Lord, I pray that you'll purify the hearts of everyone in this house. Lord, as we worship you and open our hearts, Lord, let the purification process take place. Lord, increase the abundance in the house. Increase the abundance of gold. Increase the abundance of silver. Increase the work of restoration. Increase the work of reformation. Let it come to our hearts. Let it come to the house. Let it come to our attitude. Let it come to every home. And I pray, oh God, that every home will open its door to this word. That nobody will close the door of their hearts to this word. But you'll meditate on this word and let this word permeate its way through into your spirit, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be a witness to what the Spirit has been saying. Father, I pray right now for your people. Through the name, by the name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.